You heard the word of the Lord in Psalm 23. We're going to focus on the final verse 6. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. In the name of our good shepherd, Jesus Christ, dearly redeemed family of God, and especially all loved ones of Neil Sockness. Most of you know that the word pastor is actually a Latin word for shepherd. And one of the joys of my life as an under-shepherd of the Good Shepherd is to see him at work in the lives of people, especially at their most difficult times. Times of separation, like death, certainly rank right up there as difficult, challenging times. In the past months, I've been privileged to see the dear Holy Spirit at work through word and sacrament in several families, including my own. My wife's family, our dear father-in-law, went home to glory this past summer. And as with Brad and Brent, the siblings were all gathered around his bedside as the Lord called Dad Gross home to glory. And I see that wonderful blessing, and I hope no one takes that for granted. Some of us may never get to experience that. We trust in God to guide and direct our lives, but that particular blessing is a rare one, one to be treasured with joy. And you may know that this was especially possible because of a major watershed event in Neil's life. All of us growing in God's grace as children of God and following the Good Shepherd, we become more and more mature, and we're able to look back at times when there was a turning point, some way where we were maybe going to go like that or to the other way, and the Good Shepherd just guided our life with such skill and gentle kindness that it boggles the mind looking back. Some of the times they're major events, major decisions where you have some control, like where you work or who you marry, and yet you realize God brought us together, made our paths cross, blessed us to this day. You give God the glory and the credit even for those things where you have some input. But there are also major events, major turning points in our lives where we have no control. And that was certainly the case for Neil Sockness, raised in a foster home. I know very little about the details of before that. I just know that he was raised in a foster home in a family that has also been a tremendous blessing to me personally. At Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, my classmates and I were privileged to have in our senior year a professor who taught dogmatics and Romans back to back. If you know anything about the Bible at all, Romans is the place where God just lays it out so simply how much we need a Savior and how absolutely certain this is that God provided his own Son. Just trust, believe in Jesus, and it's all yours. And he goes into the details then about how this impacts your daily life through your baptism. And to have Romans back-to-back with dogmatics, the systematic study of Christian teaching and doctrine, tremendous blessing. But I have to tell you, among all the wonderful professors I've had over the years, I never wrote so hard and fast as I did in that class, trying to get everything down. To this day, I have classmates who say, "How can you remember all that?" Because I wrote fast and those notes are still there and I could be reminded. And this has been such a blessing throughout my life. He developed a cough over the months and finally told us that he had inoperable lung cancer. And that summer the Lord called him home. Last year on this earth. And some of you already know who I'm talking about. It was Neil Sockness' older foster brother. I'm told he was out of the home by the time Neil was there. But Siegbert W. Becker, And I was pretty excited to find that out when I first met Neil and we started comparing notes. Because that family that blessed Neil blessed me. We are not born knowing these things. This man after God's own heart that wrote Psalm 23 confessed in Psalm 51, I was sinful from the time my mother conceived me. And the way Scripture talks about that sin in conception, not in the act itself, that's a gift of God, but this birth defect that we pass along from generation to generation. I didn't have to teach my kids to be bad either. They knew that very well themselves. I had to teach them to be good. My parents too. We're just wired that way. We get it from our parents, and it irritates you when you become a parent and you're looking at teenagers and you're looking in the mirror. But God is good. He teaches us His truth. Even our kids in Sunday school, I'm told by some of the Sunday school teachers that when they're asked, you know, little kids, they're asked, are you sinners? They'll say no. Do you ever do anything wrong? No, I don't. We have to be taught from God's law in its truth and purity that the words we speak, the actions we do, the feelings we have that are contrary to God's will are sin and damning sin. And even the things we leave undone, the good things, the sins of omission are damning too. For every one of them, God requires an accounting. Now, who would sit and listen to that? Who would stick around to hear it? If you couldn't also hear that sweet gospel of Jesus Christ, that's exactly the reason that God sent His own Son to live a perfect life in your place, die for the sins of all, and prophesied 700 years before Christ and more, the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And that beautiful new covenant of pure grace, one stipulation, it's all God, it's a one-sided covenant, and this is it. Their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. And in those beautiful classes, we kept on hearing, God did this for everybody. It's a universal truth. The only reason anybody would miss out is if they won't believe it. So believe it. It's true. And so God teaches us and loves us and loved Neil and loved that family and loved me through that family too. I go back to these treasures of God's word again and again. And isn't it here in this beautiful psalm where the prophet David, 1,000 years before Christ, he's bragging like a sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. It is so good to have Him as my shepherd. And he goes through all that psalm in 6 verses. He's tracing the whole life of a sheep from the flat lands where the ranch is up into the high country, the green pastures and those clear waters of God's word and sacrament, and the shepherd keeps leading his sheep. Even through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. As long as I can hear your voice, I'm okay. Just to hear my Savior speaking to me, I'm okay. And he leads us on until finally he gets to this last verse. And he says, surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And if you are a citizen of the United States of America and you know anything about our treasured history, if you know the words of the Declaration of Independence, you can appreciate these words in Psalm 23 even more, because that Declaration of Independence said that the Creator has endowed everyone with the right to have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The Holy Spirit here turns that concept upside down and says, wait a minute. You try to pursue your own happiness? Well, look at what people do. Wild, crazy people destroying their lives. The harder they try to find happiness their own way, the more they destroy their lives. And it ends in eternal destruction, in unbelief. But this says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. You realize what that means? We're all sheep that love to wander. You know, sheep like to go on the same paths. Always those rutted places, and then they lie down, and then they get that heavy, dirty wool, and they start rolling around, and pretty soon their feet up to the sunshine and belly up to the heat. And if they're left, that's a cast sheep. When the psalmist talks about, why are you cast down, O my soul? That's a cast sheep. If the shepherd does not find that sheep in time, he'll either be baked in the sun or dead in the cold. But he's got to find that sheep, get it back on its feet. The shepherd has to do that, and he comes searching us. The goodness follows us. The more you get to know God in Christ, the more you realize God is good in his essence. Over time, in trials and tribulations, we learn that God does everything well. He's just wiser, more understanding than we can ever be. But he's got a goal in mind. And in Romans 8, it says, all things work together for good to them that love God. God works in everything for the good of those who love him. He wants to bring us home to glory. Goodness will follow me. And this word mercy, oh, I love that one. One of my favorite words in the Old Testament Hebrew is chesed. Chesed is a word that's so hard to define, they do 5 or 6 pages in dictionaries, the lexicons, about what chesed is. It's never something good when it's said about people. Example, when Joseph said to that one servant of Pharaoh, when you come back to Pharaoh according to this dream, remember me with kindness. It says, he didn't remember, he forgot. Poor Joseph is left there in prison. Or your chesed is like the morning mist, the Lord says in Hosea. Ours just blows away. But God's chesed, this is his unfailing love, his steadfast love, where he makes these promises that no one could make, like to save our souls from eternal destruction. And then he keeps on reminding people through his prophets over and over again. Psalm 22, that detail of the man on the cross looking down and crucified Lord, and Isaiah 53 mentioned before, prophecy after, don't you people forget what I told you about your Savior who's coming? And then it all comes down to what we would call crunch time in the Garden of Gethsemane, and God's own Son just praying to his heavenly Father, if there's some possible way to let this cup pass from me, and he's sweating great drops of blood. And the silence was bold and loud. There is no other way. And he paid. He paid on his promise with his holy precious blood for you and for me and for all. This chesed, this unfailing love of God is what he has aimed at us in Christ. This goodness and mercy, the chesed, unfailing love of God, will follow us all the days of our life. There's a shepherd named Philip Keller who wrote a book called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. Grew up in East Africa with the shepherd boys there, became a shepherd in Australia and America, knew all about shepherding sheep. If you don't have that book, I'd highly recommend it. Philip Keller says there's another way that goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I realize that most everybody here are not farmers, and most of us never took care of sheep. This gets a little bit down to earth for you, but it's true. You can take a herd of sheep, a flock of sheep, onto some pastures that are really awful. And Keller talks about doing this. And just because these sheep are what they are, the way God made them, they'll leave behind a blessing. They like to eat in the lowland and then go up onto the high parts, the hills, and leave deposits. And turn those blasted, weather-beaten sand piles into productive pasture. They also like to eat noxious weeds, hundreds of them, including Canadian thistle. We had more trouble getting rid of Canadian thistle. Sheep, eat it. And leave behind a blessing. We have so many weeds in our lives. And people that you know are just loaded down with all these troubles and heartaches. And you, as God's sheep, leave behind a blessing when you help devour them and get rid of them. You leave behind a blessing when you speak of the love and mercy of God in Christ. his forgiveness for all, a blessing that makes faith grow in the power of the Holy Spirit in that word. Where there is anger and quarreling, you can leave peace. Where there is frustration and sadness, you can leave joy. Where there is heartache and misery, you leave behind gladness. I couldn't help remembering one of the last times Neil was in church, and I went over to see him because sometimes he and I would, you know, get sparring back and forth. And on that particular occasion, I wasn't so sure I was as respectful as I should have been. And I felt bad about that. I went over to his house and was talking to him. He stopped the mower and got off and talked to me for a little bit. And there was no problem as far as he was concerned, which is just grace. That's just grace. And while I'm talking to him, thinking, you know, here's a guy living by himself in his duplex there and lonely, I hear the voice of a young female over along the road there riding by. "Hi, Neil." Look over. Never saw her before. Nice looking young lady. I turn to Neil. "What do all the pretty girls in this neighborhood all say hi to you?" "Oh, she's just a neighbor." There was something there of Christ's kindness and his love that someone saw and wanted to say hi to that. People would ask Neil why he didn't date and remarry after all those years. He just liked to say, "I had the best." And he was satisfied. He was content. That's such a wonderful blessing, to be content. "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord." We have an English word for that translation. About 10 years ago, my maternal grandfather passed away, Granddad Severs. When I preached for his memorial service, since his heart language was German, he still remembered the psalm and said his prayers in German, I read the verses and came across the final word in the German translation, which, well, it's one of those that sticks in your mind, and I hope it'll stick in your mind today, because my mother was just telling me again on a visit this past week that she has a friend who was at that funeral of my granddad, her father, and every time this friend sees my mom, she always says, "Immerdar." I will dwell in the house of the Lord, Immerdar. It just has a ring of hope and power and strength that the Lord intends for you here. You know how it goes in foster homes. Sometimes not so well. Sometimes it's the behavior of the foster children, and sometimes it's a lousy foster home. The foster homes can fail, and they move from one place to another. You read those accounts of kids going through that, and it's very hard to have a stable life. But all of us orphan sinners have been called back to God and Jesus Christ, who still says today, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." He's calling you today. He wants you in heaven, because the same blood shed for Neil, shed for me, shed for you, shed for all. And he wants this to be personal in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I read recently of a granddaughter whose grandfather I knew as a pastor. He was very sick and kept telling his granddaughter when she came to see him that he felt like a dog at the door, scratching on the door for his master to let him in. Wasn't too sure what was on the other side of that door. He just wanted to get there because the master's face is smiling and he wants to welcome you home. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me," and finally catch up. "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord, Immerdar." Amen.